Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Meet the Author on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Denny Griffin. For the next half hour, I'll be your host. And my guest for today is Mr. Joe McDonald. And Joe is an author and former insurance professional with more than 30 years' experience as a broker. During his time in the insurance industry, he witnessed how the vices of greed and wealth led to devastating consequences through bad investments and financial irresponsibility. His new novel is Lotto, released in January of this year, and it deals with good fortune gone awry. The tragic consequences of a winning lottery ticket force a chain of reactions that can only be altered through one man's ingenuity and determination. Joe, welcome to Meet the Author.
Hey, Denny, thanks for having me on. It's great to be on your show.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and I think most of us human beings at one time or another in our lives have thought about hitting the big jackpot. And I live in Las Vegas, so of course I know a lot of people are out here to do that through the casinos. And certainly lottery, a Powerball, all that type of thing when you hear about these mega jackpots. I guess it's human nature that some of us would have little dreams about what it would be like if we had that ticket or that winning number. And your book, the premise of your book is that somebody hits the lottery, and then what happens to them and their fortune after they hit it. Am I correct?
Well, that's right. The protagonist or the central character in the book, his marriage is falling apart. His wife is openly cheating on him. I don't know if you'd call it cheating at that point in their marriage, but anyway, that's what she's doing. So when he finds he's got the winning ticket for $23 million, he decides that the last thing he wants to do is share it with her. And that decision leads to all his frustrations and travails and gets him into some really deep trouble before the book finally concludes.
Now, I'm assuming there's a little humor in this. Am I correct in that?
Well, there is, and it's a reflection, I guess, of my own personality. One of my faults is I've gone through life without taking everything too seriously. Maybe that's good, maybe it's bad. Sometimes it's not so good. In business, sometimes I saw humor where other people saw tragedy, and they didn't appreciate my outlook. But yeah, I put a few humorous touches in there, a few lines of dialogue that kind of should elicit a laugh or two. And I guess that's going to be my style. I'm working on my second book now, about two-thirds of the way through it. And I find I'm doing the same thing there. I'm looking for an opportunity here and there where I can kind of lighten the mood.
I must say, Joe, that I think we have similar styles, and I'm with you. I don't like to take myself too seriously, and I try to inject a little humor. I write a lot of organized crime stuff, and that tends to be rather serious most of the time. But I try every chance I get to insert a little light touch here and there, and I like it. And I think from the feedback I get, readers like it, so I'm sure you'll experience that reaction to your book and style.
Well, I've noticed that you do that you'll have some dialogue that will elicit a laugh and I like that. I think that's a nice touch.
Now, with Lotto, so this man wins 23 mil. He's having marital problems, and he wants to basically doesn't want to split with the soon-to-be ex-wife or the estranged wife. So how much can you tell us without spoiling the story for a potential reader?
Well, I think I can give you a pretty good idea without giving away too much of the book. He's referred to an attorney that has problems of his own, but he's referred to an attorney who explains how he can keep his identity as the winner secret from his wife. And because the hero, Michael Collins, he's thinking, well, maybe I'll just wait until after the divorce, which is imminent. It's going to be 2 or 3 weeks away. He thinks, well, maybe I'll just wait till after the divorce or something like that, and that'll work. Well, the attorney explains that it won't. The ticket was bought when they were still married, so it's community property, and the proceeds are to be shared between the two of them. But there is a way that he can handle the winning without giving away his own identity, and that's by forming a corporation and having the corporation be the winner. And so that's what the attorney sets out to do for him, is form this corporation. At the same time, the attorney considers a way of scamming Collins out of the winning ticket and out of the money. And so he comes up with a scheme of his own to do that. And,
so there's multiple plots going on, or multiple scams going on.
Yeah, that's right. we've got three characters who are after the money. Well, four, actually. The wife finds out about it, and she and her attorney are chasing the money. Collins is trying to get it. The attorney has it for a while, and cohort of his, a guy who he brings into the scheme, he's after it too. So it's kind of interesting. Our central character goes through a lot of, he gets beat up, he gets mugged, he gets robbed, and all kinds of things happen to him.
Go ahead.
No, that's all right.
excuse me. I want to apologize to you and to the listeners. I'm fighting a cold here, so if I sound a little gravel-voiced, it's just something beyond my control. Now, you mentioned that you have a second book about two-thirds of the way through. Is that a similar type plot, or what are you doing there?
Well, it's a little different. It's almost a science fiction genre. It's the story of a man who he and his sailing partner are caught up in the Bermuda Triangle, and they're sailing out of Miami, and they're caught up in the Bermuda Triangle, and he gets blown off the boat into the water. He barely makes it into their dinghy that they've been trailing, which has come loose. And he was injured, and so he passes out. When he comes to, he's rescued by a fisherman that's coming by that just happenstance sees the floating inflatable dinghy. But anyway, he has been swept magically or whatever into a parallel world. It's just like the world you and I live in, and all your listeners, but it's not the same. Fortunately for him, the people speak about the same language, and their culture is about the same. There's not much difference there. In fact, it takes him a week before he realizes that he's not in the United States. He's taken to a hospital, but anyway, so that leads into the story, but what we learn then is this man has lost everything. He can't go back to the United States because his home world because of this freak accident. There's no way he's going to be able to duplicate that. He's lost. He doesn't have his family, his job, his business. He doesn't have money. He doesn't have credit. He doesn't have friends. He doesn't even have an identity, and his past is only a memory in his mind. It doesn't mean anything to anybody else. He's an illegal alien, and barely escapes detention from the immigration people. So now he's on the run. This is a little bit like the show that what was the name of that show where the guy gets away? He's chasing a one-armed man, and he
The Fugitive.
Oh yes, right.
Okay.
So now this guy is the central character in this story, David Anderson. Now he and who was a real upstanding guy in his previous life. Didn't break a law, didn't even go through stop signs. And now he finds that to save himself, to keep going, he has to become a criminal. And so we involve him in all kinds of things, auto theft, and there's some humor in, along the way.
Good. Joe, before I forget, I'd like to, if you would, give out your website information or any information where people can find your book or more information about your book.
Sure. Well, I appreciate your asking that. My website, which I'm right now in the process of improving a little bit, but the website is J.L. McDonald, McDonald, .net. And that'll take you to my website, and it'll tell you a little bit about Lotto and where to order the book. You can get the book at your favorite bookstore or from Amazon.
Okay.
I'm trying now to set it up so people can order a book directly from me if they want a copy that's been autographed.
Great.
But in the meantime, go to Amazon or go to your Barnes & Noble or wherever.
And when are you anticipating the new book you're working on to be finished and out?
Well, you probably can imagine the time involved in getting published. So
oh, yeah.
it's a little hard to say. You know, when I finished Lotto, I thought, well, this is, and I'm not a fast writer. I do other things, I guess, and waste time. But when I finished Lotto, I thought, well, now, gee, I'll have a book on the shelf or someplace in 2 or 3 months. Well, that was a naive expectation.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
It took a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go through cover design, and then you go through one or two edits, and they'll give you some editing information, some suggestions, and grammar corrections and stuff. You get that done, and then you get another final edit. But yeah, it takes time, and then they have to negotiate with a printer and stuff.
So, Joe, let me just interrupt you for just a second here. I have a chat room here. I noticed that we have a few people on.
Good.
Who are from a site called Juror 13, and. That's for crime buffs like me, and I've been spending a lot of time there lately, and real nice people. And also one or two might be from a Blog Talk Radio show called Justice Interrupted, which is another crime program. And because Lotto is about crime, and there's going to be a certain amount of crime in your upcoming book also, you might have some potential readers out here. And I would like to say that if anybody has a question or comment for Joe, they can certainly, if you're in the chat room, I'll try to remember to keep monitoring that, and you can text a question. And if you would like to call in, the number is 646-478-0982, 646-478-0982. And I'm sure Joe will be happy to answer any questions you have and chat with you either by text or by phone. Okay, Joe, you mentioned a couple of minutes ago about publishing, editing, and all that kind of stuff. Did you find, well, let me ask it this way. When you started your manuscript for Lotto, had you researched the overall business of writing? I mean, in other words, you know, what you were going to do after the manuscript was completed, or did you go stage by stage, step by step? Or were you all, did you know pretty much as you were writing the manuscript exactly what you were going to do in the way of publishing and so forth?
No, I really didn't. I thought that my first step at that point would be to get an agent. And I knew that that wasn't easy. But I still wanted to try to do that. Mm-hmm. And so when the manuscript was finished, I put together I don't know whether you call it query letter or proposal letter or whatever, but anyway, I got a marketing book that listed, I guess a couple hundred agents, but it separated them into the various genres that they had their principal interest in. So I picked out about 25 that dealt with adult fiction, mainstream, mystery type stuff. And this will amaze you. Not one seemed interested. And I thought, you know, maybe I should change my name to something like Bill Clinton or,
yes,
you know, and or Kevin Costner or somebody.
Sure.
But they don't seem to have any trouble getting agents. But
Joe, can I
anyway,
interrupt just a second? We have a couple of things through the chat room. One thing I've been reminded that there's another site also I should mention, group Peace for the number for the missing, Peace for the Missing. And I have a question that one of the chatters wants to know if you have had any personal experience with a lotto, like winning it yourself or maybe a close friend or a family member.
No, I have. I don't buy lotto tickets anymore, but off and on I used to. If I was in the 7-Eleven doing something else, maybe buying a quart of oil for my car or paying my gas bill or something, and I had some change, I'd buy a couple of dollars worth of lotto tickets.
Sure.
But that's the extent of it. But just like a lot of your listeners, over the years I've noticed articles now and then about what they call the sudden wealth syndrome, where people who come into a lot of money that have never had much money before are overwhelmed with it and make all kinds of bad decisions, get pestered by investment counselors and scammers and relatives and charities, and it ruins their life. They get a divorce, they get alienated from their family. Or one woman in I think it was Wisconsin or Connecticut, I can't remember now, but she won something like $17 million, quite a bit of money, and in 2 years committed suicide. Those thoughts were kind of in the back of my mind when I started Lotto. I thought, well, okay, we're going to have a guy who's sort of a semi-loser in the beginning of the book. And he wins big. He thinks it's going to change his life, put him on top. But he doesn't even get the money. I'm not even going to let him get his hands on the money. But we're going to take him through everything and try to get him redeemed by the end of the book.
Yeah, I've got a couple of comments on the chat. One is audiobook question mark. Any plans for your book or your books to be in audio?
No, I haven't. I haven't got any plans for that. I've been asked about Kindle, and frankly, I don't know much about Kindle except I guess people subscribe to it or something.
Yeah, I think it's an Amazon thing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is. Amazon does it.
And another comment was that one writer here said they knew a local man who won a $100,000 lottery, and people came out of the woodwork. He regretted ever winning it.
Yeah. Well, yes, that happens. I think that happens to most lottery winners, and it happens to some people who come into sudden wealth other ways, like maybe a rock star or the CEO of a .com company or something like that.
And now here's another comment. I'll quote here. I knew a guy that won $7 million. He's broke now and wanted in Vegas. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Reminds me of that joke. When I went to Vegas, I drove there in a $70,000 Cadillac. And when I came home in a $400,000 bus.
Hallelujah, Greyhound, right?
Yeah.
Now, let's, if we can, Joe, let's switch a little bit to marketing. Marketing is, at least in my opinion, is equally as important as writing a good manuscript or a good story. Because if nobody knows it's out there, if nobody buys it, in the great scheme of things, what good is it? So do you agree that it is very important after you've done your manuscript, had the editing, found a publisher, and even some of the major publishers today don't have that big a budget to send every single author on a nationwide all-expense-paid book tour. They still expect, unless you're, like you say, maybe a Clinton or somebody like that, they expect you to hustle and be out there marketing your book. Have you found that to be true?
Oh, that's very definitely true. And I had a hint of that in the reading that I'd gotten from other writers, that they would tell me that nobody is going to sell your book for you. You have to do that yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I expected some of that, but it comes home after you get the, you know, when National Book Network agreed to take the book on as one of those that they distribute, I thought, oh, that's great. Gee, they're going to have my book everywhere. No, they don't. They have a catalog, and then you're in their catalog, but they don't push your book, and they just take orders from the bookstores, the retailers, and other distributors and wholesalers, so I found that out. The other thing that I'm learning is that not every bookstore is just tickled to death to see me walk in. They don't know me, and they don't care, and they've got 200 other writers who are pounding on them to do the same thing I'm trying to do. I read someplace that the average book sells 500 copies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've exceeded that, so maybe I should feel good.
You're above average.
Yeah.
Joe, I got about three more questions for you. Let me catch up on
them
real quick before we neglect them. One question is, has the economy affected how they treat you? A publisher treats you as a writer. Do you notice anything with the downturn in the economy? Are you being treated any different, or is there any difference in marketing or publicity?
Well, no, I really can't give much of an answer to that. I haven't noticed any change there. If there is one, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, two more questions real quick. Have you ever considered a virtual book tour? And the second question is, is Lotto also available in ebook?
In what?
Ebook. An electronic book.
Ebook. Oh, yeah. No. Ebook, yes. No, Lotto's not available as an ebook, and I'm not familiar with a virtual tour, so I
well, may I enlighten you since I've taken one?
Yes.
Okay. A virtual tour is something, and there are different. You can do it yourself. You can set up your own tour if you have the time and the expertise on the computer to do it, or you can go through a company that sets up the virtual book tour for you. And what they will do, they will find websites, and that would include Blog Talk Radio and also blogs and so forth, that would have an audience for your particular genre, where you would get maximum exposure for people who might be interested in purchasing your book. And you can be a guest blogger. They will send you out, depending on the site, questionnaires, basically an interview, and you will answer the interview questions, and they will be posted on the website, and you'll have specific dates that you'll be on each of these locations or on the radio show or what have you. And the prices vary depending on the producer of the virtual book tour and what you want in your tour. I know when I took mine, at the time it was a couple of years ago, and I had the deluxe program, I think it was $300 or $325, and I was guaranteed X number of...
of sales?
No, appearances.
Oh.
Or exposure in different places over a 30-day period. It was a month-long opportunity. Now, I couldn't possibly have paid out of my pocket to get the exposure I got through that virtual book tour for $300. I mean, there's no way to take out an ad.
Oh, no. You couldn't even drive around.
Yeah, and again, it's like anything else. You got to deal with the right people, you know. But I think the concept is I would do it again, in fact, without hesitation.
Well, I'm glad you've told me about that. I'm going to look into that. What I have looked into is ads in e-zines and blogs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to various blog sites that have big subscription lists, you know, like 25, 30, 40,000 members, and or e-zines that deliver to that many people electronically, of course.
Right.
And you can buy ads. You can buy solo ad, what they call solo ads or spots, and the solo ads supposedly work pretty well. The thing there is you're not beaming in on a target audience. You're just hitting a broad cross-section of people, that some of which, though, should be interested in your book.
Yeah. If you get out there to enough, you're bound to get some interest, hit somebody that's interested. Or going to the specialized sites where you're targeting a specific audience. But I think with the computers today and the internet and so forth, that's got to be one of the best venues for people like us who want to get our names out there and news about our books out there.
I agree.
You know, then somebody told me one time what it would cost for like a quarter page ad in the New York Times, and I almost fell over. You got to be kidding me. You know, so some of those options aren't really realistic for most of us.
No, that's right. I was at a book signing today, and not for myself, but for another local author, and he sold 6 books. And I thought, well, it took him a half a day to do all that, plus the expense of getting here and everything. And
was that, Joe, at a chain bookstore or an independent?
No, I was actually at a regional library.
Regional library.
Yeah.
Was the author, did he or she seem satisfied with the sales, or couldn't you tell?
Pardon me?
Did the author find that number of sales satisfactory, or couldn't you tell?
I'm pretty sure he was disappointed.
Yeah.
First of all, not many people showed up. And it wasn't because of the weather. The weather was good. I said local author. Actually, he's from L.A.
Okay. One last question here. We're just about out of time. is what other venues do you use to promote a book?
Well, like I say, I'm looking into the internet, and I'm going around visit leaving a book with all the regional librarians and asking them to, if they can, read the book, and if they're ready, they can buy the book for the various branches. And the other thing is, I'm working. I'm surprised that it's taking me so much trouble and so long, but getting my book on what I call a non-traditional retailers, airport stores, drug stores, grocery stores, and so forth, where a lot of paperbacks are sold. In fact, I understand that they sell more paperbacks out of those venues than Barnes does. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've got a pretty good cover on my book, and I think it'll attract the eye of the casual shopper. So I want to get my book on their shelves, especially because they face out. So somebody sees your book, and I'm meeting some success doing that.
Joe, they've cut us off here. I don't know how it went by so quickly, but what we've talked about since the half hour expired will be recorded on the archive show, so that isn't lost. And if you want to download the entire show for your own use, you can do that, and you'll have the entire thing. And Joe, I really want to thank you for being on with me tonight. I'm sorry the time went by so quickly, and I'd like you to keep in touch. And when your new book comes out, maybe we can do it again.
Well, I'll send you a copy, Denny. And the reason we went over time is I'm too damn wordy. I get talking and I don't shut up. But it's been a real pleasure to be on with you. And I guess you've got another book coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, I got a couple of things in the oven here that are perking along.
Well, good luck with those.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. And again, keep in touch and look forward to the next one.
All right. Well, I will. And thank you again, Denny. It's been great that you've had me on. I really appreciate that.
Okay, Joe, you take care now. Bye-bye.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Okay, and that was Joe McDonald, the book Lotto. And it sounds like a good read. If you get a chance, check it out. And thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.